The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the people saw that neither Jesus nor the disciples were beside the sea, they got into the boats and crossed to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. When they found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they said, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them, "The truth of the matter is, you're not looking for me because you've seen signs, but because you've eaten your fill of the bread. You shouldn't be working for perishable food, but for life-giving food that lasts for all eternity. This the Chosen One can give you, for the Chosen One bears the seal of God." At this, they said, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus replied, "This is the work of God, to believe in the one whom God has sent." So they asked Jesus, "What sign are you going to give to show us that we should believe in you? What will you do? Our ancestors had manna to eat in the desert. As Scripture says, God gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "The truth of the matter is Moses hasn't given you bread from heaven, yet God gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Teacher," they said, "teacher, give us this bread from now on." And Jesus explained to them, "I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. No one who believes in me will be thirsty." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace, the very bread of life to you, dear people of God, the bread of angels. Amen. So typically, I carry a big shoulder bag. When our kids were younger, I'd have diapers and wipes and all this baby stuff in my bag. And later, I carried small pairs of underwear just in case of an accident. It's a bummer to be without, you know. And nowadays, my bag is filled with assorted things, especially and almost always that includes granola bars and applesauce packets, ready for the inevitable peel of hunger, because that just happens. It happens. So this week, I've been reflecting on a blog that's called Journey with Jesus, and I've been reflecting on the thoughtful questions and reflections of Debbie Thomas. So I borrow some of her words and her structure today. She asks questions like, "Am I hungry? Am I hungry?" So take a moment and check in with your body, but then also check in with your soul. Am I hungry? And if so, what am I hungry for? And if I'm not hungry, what has made me full? Her questions continue, "Am I ashamed of my hunger? Or does fullness scare me? And what kind of bread do I substitute for Jesus? What kind of bread do I substitute for Jesus?" So we're in a 5-week run of scripture readings about bread, specifically about the bread of life. This is week number 2, if you're counting. Week number 2. The way our lectionary assigns these readings, for 5 weeks, we get this marathon. It happens every 3 years, always in the late days of summer, always in what we call the bee season. Preachers do things like go on vacation, because 5 weeks is a long time to focus on bread. It's a very long time. And yet I admit that these are some of my very favorite Jesus stories. I really love the story of Jesus being the bread of life. So truthfully, I did not plan my vacation. I was gone last week and the week prior. I did not plan my vacation for these weeks, and yet that's what happened. They are the assigned readings. And I'm immeasurably grateful to Tom Carlson and Nick Tangen for being our preachers these last couple weeks. And I'm also grateful to John Rydeen and Kirsten Mebus, where she is right there, our preaching team, who makes sure that we have gospel voices and make sure that our preaching schedule is full. So last week, the first week of this bread series, the five-week bread series, last week that tremendous crowd had settled on the hillside. And with bread and fish in hand, Jesus was practicing this radical, risky, essential hospitality. Remember the crowd? It was big. And they had enough. They had enough. And this week, John continues, and Jesus is pushing past perishable food and going deep into our real hunger, our real fears, our real need. And the truth is, I like to talk about food and feeding and hospitality. I like baskets overflowing and that image and the promise of abundance. Maybe you do too. It's one of my favorite images. I like to write letters for Bread for the World, and I support food shelves, and I've served at food kitchens and soup kitchens. And I love the new farmer's market. If you haven't been, it's pretty awesome. And I'm pretty excited about the bread oven as well. God knows, along with baptism, Holy Communion is my favorite sacrament, right? What more is there about this package? But Jesus is going deep. He says, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will be hungry. And sure, he's called us to follow, and he's called us to believe, and he's told us to learn this or that. But here in this frighteningly intimate, even provocative move, he says essentially, feast on me. Feast on me, and you will never be hungry again. Debbie Thomas writes, what's at stake for me in this strange invitation is whether or not I will move past religion into intimacy, past abstraction into real communion, past self-sufficiency into radical whole-life dependence on a God I can taste but never control. We become what we eat after all. And then she asks, so what am I becoming? Writer and theologian and Episcopal priest Lauren Winner, writes about Jesus as bread, and she says, in calling himself the bread of life and not, say, creme caramel or caviar, Jesus is identifying with basic food, with sustenance, with the food that for centuries afterward would figure in the protest efforts of poor and marginalized people. And she goes on, no one holds caviar riots. People riot for bread, right? So to speak of God as bread is to speak of God's most elemental provision for us. So are you hungry for God? Am I hungry for God? Not God as a fancy appetizer, not God as caviar, not God as a special after-dinner treat if you've been good, if you've cleared your whole entire plate. But am I hungry for God as elemental provision, everyday staple, food so necessary, so essential, that without God, we will simply starve. We will die. Debbie Thomas calls this the hunger beneath the hunger. And I know that hunger. I know that soul hunger. I sense it in those I talk with. I feel it in myself. Sometimes it seems easier to just think about feeding people's physical hunger. Feed people. Just feed them. That's what Jesus did. He fed them. That's our calling too. But Jesus didn't stop there. That's what Jesus did first. He fed them, but he didn't stop there. And with a nudge and a question, hearkening back to the manna on that long desert journey to freedom, Jesus pushes them to trust more deeply. Feast on me, he says, feast on me, satisfy your soul hunger. So what am I hungry for? That's a good question. And it's a personal question, so I'll share what I'm hungry for, but you're going to have to sort that out for yourself. What are you hungry for as well? For me, I have this perennial yearning for what I call the bread and wine party. It's such a strong yearning, I can taste the bread, and I can taste the olive oil, and a little bit of hard cheese, and a little bit of salt that I'll dip it in. The yearning is as much a desire for bread as it's a desire to share it with some of our very closest friends and our tightest community. And in that, there's this intimacy. It's this intimacy of conversation, and there's a vulnerability, and there's an acceptance, and there's a shared search for meaning and a hope, especially in these times. And there's tears, and there's laughter, and there's freedom. Oh, there's freedom. And there's faith lived and faith shared and a stumble and then a righting of oneself. And there's this closeness with God that comes in part in genuine, faithful community. The bread and wine party, I call it. So I can imagine that hunger. I can know that hunger. That's good. But do I turn to Jesus to fill it? Do you turn to Jesus to fill that hunger? Do you trust that Jesus is your most elemental provision? We get so busy. We fill our time with whatever yammers for our attention. Sometimes we fill it with that which helps us avoid going deep, avoid facing the real hunger in our hearts or listening for God. Sometimes we aren't worthy of feasting on this bread of life. Nadia Bowles Weber writes, "It's hard to accept not just that God welcomes all, but that God welcomes all of me and all of you." She continues, "Even that within us we wish to hide, that part that cursed at our children this week, or drank alone, or has a problem with lying, or hates our body. All these parts of us, we wish Jesus had the good sense to not welcome to the table, are invited to taste and to see that the Lord is good." Feast on me, Jesus says. Feast on me, for we are what we eat. And then we're back to relationship, back to a God who meets us at the table of forgiveness, who feeds us body and soul with God's very self, who welcomes us in our hunger, and who fills us with love that we can feed and love each other. So today, or tonight, or tomorrow, I invite you to carve out a little bit of time and a little bit of space and to go deep. Am I hungry? Ask yourself that. Am I hungry? And then, and this can be scary, listen for God to give yourself the space to honestly answer that question. Am I hungry? May you feast again on the bread of life, and may you be bread for the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.